I'm Lisa Davis. Welcome to It's Your Health on Thinking Out Loud on WUML 91.5 FM. I love to shop. I have a weak spot for clothes like the ones worn by Carrie on Sex and the City, and luckily I know many consignment shops so I can afford them. However, sometimes I shop when I'm lonely, bored, and need a boost, and that might be okay in moderation. However, for people with compulsive buying disorder, it is another story. How does someone know if they have issues with compulsive shopping? Well, here are some questions from today's guest, Dr. April Benson's website, www.stoppingovershopping.com. Do you use shopping as a quick fix for the blues? Do you spend more than you can afford? Are some of your purchases unused or hidden? Do you feel guilty or ashamed about this behavior? Would your life be? Benson will discuss compulsive buying disorder and share strategies to help. Dr. Benson is a nationally known psychologist who specializes in the treatment of compulsive buying disorder. She has been in private practice in New York City for over 25 years. Dr. Benson has appeared widely in the media, including What Would Jesus Buy?, a documentary about overconsumption in America during the holidays, and she appeared in a recent episode of The Secret Lives of Women about shopaholics for the Women's Entertainment Network, and on The Bank of Mom and Dad on SoapNet. In addition, she has recently appeared on CNN, Good Morning America, The Today Show, CBS Evening News, ABC News Now, and BBC World Business Report. Dr. Benson, welcome to It's Your Health on Thinking Out Loud on WUML 91.5 FM.
Thanks so much for having me, Lisa.
Yeah, I'm so glad to have you back. Now, in the introduction to your wonderful book, To Buy or Not to Buy, you write, "What I've learned from a decade and a half of knowing, studying, working with, and writing about overshoppers from having been one myself is that to change your behavior, you've got to change the way you feel about yourself and the way you go about meeting your authentic needs." April, can you tell us about your experiences as an overshopper?
Yes. In my late teens and through my 20s, I had a store that I shopped at that was very close to my house, and the things were beautiful, and I often bought more than I really needed. And I also used to go to sample sales, and because things were inexpensive, I would buy too much.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, I never got into debt trouble, but the time and the energy that I spent shopping and buying was really time and energy that would, some of which, would have been better spent doing
Dr. Banks. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I mean, for you, it doesn't sound like, obviously, it was a compulsion. But in the introduction, you also write, quote, "The underlying premise of the book is that when we overshop, though, we often don't realize that we are trying to fill emotional needs with material goods." And this was so evident on the episode of Bank of Mom and Dad on SoapNet that you were in. I was really impressed watching you work with Shamika, and as she talked about her relationship with her mother, it was so clear that she was using shopping to fill her emotional needs. I mean,
yes. That
was, I felt really bad for her. And I know in our last interview, I mentioned this, that my husband, you know, he had come in the middle of it, and he thought, oh, look at this woman spending all that money. And then he sat down and was like, oh, my God, look at her mother. No wonder she's, you know, doing something to take her mind off these emotional issues.
Yes, and of course, her mother was the way she was because of her own emotional baggage.
Oh, of course.
And, you know, deprivations
mm-hmm.
in her life.
Yes. Yeah, I wasn't trying to blame her. You know, so, well, how would you define compulsive shopping then?
Compulsive shopping is when you shop and buy so much, or even think about shopping and buying so much, that people have interpersonal consequences from this. They isolate sometimes from their friends. There are lots of marital or relationship problems. Sometimes children get ignored because the overshopper in the family is spending so much time and energy doing that. And personal development. Because we put so much energy into overshopping, we don't put energy into developing ourselves in important ways.
Yeah, I'm so glad you said that, because I'm thinking not only that, but you're also running away from issues that you need to face to grow even more as a person.
Yes, very, very true.
Yes, and that's so important. And unfortunately, you know, you also write about it being the regular stuff of jokes. Shoppers portrayed as self-involved, materialistic, and empty. And, quote, "As a result, compulsive shopping may be an abuse, even a greater source of guilt and shame than alcoholism or drug abuse." And that's the problem. If people are just, oh, there she goes shopping again, or there she, you know, I used to say when I was in college, I was like, oh, I'm going to go do retail therapy, and I'd kind of make a joke about it, you know.
Yeah.
That's why it's good that you're here, because it's not funny. It is serious issues that need to be addressed.
Yes, And it is an uphill battle in this country in particular because consumption fuels our economy.
That's
we
true.
Have a president that told us to go out shopping.
Yeah, that is true, you know.
Nobody's telling us to go do drugs.
That's true. No one's told me that. Yeah, there's definitely sort of, I bet there's also like a blame kind of thing. Like, well, if you could just, you know, not be so materialistic and just control yourself.
Yes.
And another thing that you write is compulsive overshoppers don't accept themselves as they are. They feel insecure and often have a desire to be transformed into some new and idealized version. So obviously getting different clothes, getting different makeup, getting different hairstyles, again, it's that outside rather than working on the inside.
Yes, identity-related concerns. We know there's something called the self-discrepancy gap,
okay.
which is the distance between who we are and who we'd like to be, or how we see ourselves and how we'd like to be seen. And the compulsive buying is an attempt to close that gap.
And it really is something that, you know, with your help and the awareness can really be addressed. And you write that there's five types of triggers, and if you can tell us about those.
There are situational triggers.
Okay.
A for sale sign, a holiday, an event, an upcoming event. There are emotional triggers, boredom, loneliness, anger. There are interpersonal triggers. Triggers, there is, you know, something's happened. You've had a fight with your husband. Your boss calls you on the carpet for something. There are cognitive triggers, thoughts. If I don't buy this DVD now, I'll never be able to get it. I've done a terrific job on this paper. I deserve something special. And finally, there are physical triggers. You're trying to watch your weight and you're feeling hungry. You shop so that you don't eat. Insomnia. It's 3 o'clock in the morning and you've been tossing and turning for hours. Why not put on the TV and see what's happening at QVC?
Yes, and let's talk about eBay. Oh my gosh, I know I mentioned this in our last interview, but there was about a 3-month period before I started doing the show and I was kind of lonely and, you know, I just was having a hard time and I discovered eBay and I went wild. And I didn't realize how much I was spending because everything was cheap. It's like, oh my God, this designer dress for $20 is usually $300, but you buy 20 of those. Or you know what I mean? I didn't go. And all of a sudden, every day there was packages. My husband's like, what is going on? You need to deal with whatever's going on because this is way too much shopping.
Sure.
And I just got so caught up in the excitement of going to the mailbox every day and seeing something new. And yeah, it was tough.
But even if you don't buy 20, even if you only buy one, if you don't need it, you won't use it, or you can't afford it, it's not a good purchase. I say that you can never get enough of what you don't really need, and you were lonely.
Yeah.
So when somebody's lonely, buying stuff isn't going to cure the loneliness.
That's true.
So you've got to really tease out what that underlying authentic need is and find a way, a tailor-made alternative to shopping, that will meet that underlying.
Mom and Dad episode on SoapNet and on The Secret Lives of Women on WeTV, you gave the women a little card the size of a business card to keep in their wallet. What did it say?
It has 6 questions. Why am I here? How do I feel? Do I need this? What if I wait? How will I pay for it? Where will I put it?
Those are great questions.
They serve not only to have you become more mindful, but they also serve to put space between the impulse and the action, giving us time to develop some consciousness.
Yeah, I'm sure that helps a lot.
It does. It really does. Sometimes people get to by the time they've answered the second question, they know that this is a compulsive purchase and they need to stop. And often they're very successful.
Yeah. Now, if somebody's listening and they're not sure, they're thinking, well, I do kind of hide things or I am overspending, how do they know, you know, if they've crossed that line? I just mentioned one of them, I think, is hiding purchases from loved ones.
There is a valid and reliable assessment tool on my website.
Oh, great.
Called the Richmond Compulsive Buying Scale that consists of 6 questions that are answered on a 1 to 7 scale. And it tells you, on the basis of research, what a score above X25, one, this is a score that reflects the way compulsive buyers score.
I see. Okay. Oh, that's helpful. Yeah, definitely people should check out your website. And some other advice in your book, just some, you know, real kind of tough love, is to stop using your credit cards right now.
Yes.
That's tough. But good.
Because we know that we spend so much less
if
we pay cash. And if we use a debit card, we can't spend money we don't have.
That's true. When I was like maybe 13, I used to babysit a lot, and I got paid $1 an hour, and there was these boots that I wanted, and they were $46, and I saved, and that's 46 hours of working, obviously. Well, I went to the store, and I'm counting out these dollars, and I'm thinking, gosh, do I really want these boots? I really had to stand there and think about it, and unfortunately, I decided yes, and then after a while, I didn't want them, but it was just the point that, if you know, having that cash really made me, realize just how much I was spending.
Yes.
So.
Yes. And the internet works even because the click of the mouse
sneaky.
Is even farther removed.
Oh, so far removed. You're not even opening your wallet. Well, no, you're not actually if you're on PayPal.
Sure.
What kind of pal is that, actually?
Exactly. One of the things I wanted to tell the listeners is that there are three women who have recently written books about their recovery from compulsive buyers.
Oh, great.
One lives in Glasgow, Scotland.
Mm-hmm.
One lives in Australia. And one is an American living in Paris.
Ooh.
And I recently interviewed each of these women. And I have a free video that people can access through my website that allows you to listen to snippets of these three conversations, and then if you like what you hear and feel it could be useful, and I got a tremendous amount of good feedback about how useful it was to hear real people talk about their struggles and what they did to get better.
Mm-hmm.
And all three of these women have really recovered.
Oh, that's fantastic. It is really inspiring. I love real stories like that.
We call it Stop the Shopping Insanity.
Oh, that's great. And you can get these on your website?
Yes.
Okay.
There is a text box on the homepage with a link to the free video.
Oh, that's great. That's great. Now, we only have a couple minutes left. I wanted you to talk to us briefly about the importance of self-kindness, self-love, and self-care in stopping over-shopping.
I think that shopping is a way to take care of themselves. But, of course, when they end up anxious about a lot of debt or anxious about the time and energy they're spending, that's not much self-care.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really important to think about what kinds of activities can you engage in that really care for you? And maybe some of the same kinds of triggers that you get when you shop. For example, let me be more specific.
Oh, sure.
For some people, the need for activity is what drives the shopping urge. The hustle and bustle of being out in a busy store is a big part of the fun. So the idea here would be, what else might you do that could meet that need?
That's
if there's something you've always wanted to try, and then in my book I've got several suggestions, and the same is true of spontaneity, relaxation, sensual joy, taste and smell, sight, discovery, emotion, and intellect. These are ways to be kind to yourself.
Yes. Now those.
Using.
Yes.
Using. Accessing sensual joy, accessing our need for discovery, our need for excitement.
Definitely. Well, I want to thank you so much. This has been so wonderful. And if you can give your website again.
StoppingOverShopping.com.
All right, April, this is terrific. And if people want to reach me, they can go to itsyourhealthradio.org. I hope everyone has a great week. Keep being healthy. Take care. Bye-bye.